Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do we have today?
Here's a story from Simone Stewart.
This time last year, we were hit with Hurricane Irma, which wasn't the worst hurricane that I've ever lived through, but it certainly was an inconvenient one. I myself, my brothers, and my best friend Alyssa all stayed at my dad's apartment to wait out the storm. We were there for maybe 2 days and some change. And it was nice. We had lots of snacks and watched TV until the electricity went out. And we all just sat outside of the sliding glass door and just let the breeze go back and forth through the house while we were trying not to overheat. Irma wasn't too bad to South Florida. We were in Delray Beach, and it mostly just gave us some wind and some rain and blew some trees around, and then it went on its way. Right after Irma left, everybody was so hungry. We had just eaten Cheez-Its and Oreos and random little sandwiches while we were waiting for the storm to pass, and we desperately wanted some hot food. So my brothers and my dad and everybody all piled up into my car, and we went out on a mission to try to find some hot food. We were riding around Delray Beach for almost an hour, and then we went downtown and this place called Docks, which has been there for as long as I've been in Delray, it's been there for so long, was the only place open, I remember. And there was a line all the way around the corner. We were waiting in that line for over an hour. And we were so happy when we finally got our food, burgers, fries, everything, a veggie burger for me. We got back in the car, and I swore that I could hear this meowing. And it was so cute, like it must have been a newborn kitten. It was so soft. And I thought I could hear it in my air conditioning vent, just meow, meow, you know. And everybody thought that I was crazy. No one else could hear it except me. And I was the one driving, and I don't know. I didn't feel good about moving my car while I could hear it. But everyone just wanted to get back home, so I started driving back, and I hear it gets louder and louder, just meow, meow, and I don't know where it's coming from, just this loud meowing. Anyway, we finally get back, and we park the car, and the meowing is just so loud. I say, I need to figure out where this is. So I go under my car, and I just take my flashlight, and I look in the tires, I look under the trunk, I look in the hood of the car. I didn't see anything. I thought, wow, okay, I mean, I must be making it up. Maybe the cat is somewhere else and it's just been following me around and I'm just blind to it. I go back inside. The electricity comes back on, thankfully. We hang out, we watch a movie. My friend Alyssa and I decide that we're kind of tired of spending time with my brother and my dad. So we go on our way. We're going to go back to her apartment. We pack up all our stuff, we go back to the car, and again, that meowing is just so, so loud. And I've convinced myself at that point that it's just not real. It's just in my head. So I start to back up my car, and Alyssa says, wait, wait. And she sees the little face of this maybe a month-old kitten in the grill of my car, just sitting there. She was very skinny, like she hadn't eaten a good meal. She was gray, with black stripes all up and down her body the way that cats do. She was very wet also from the rain, I presume. Her hair was, you know, bound together and spiky. I felt so bad for her. It's not in pain, you know, visibly. It's just hanging out. It wasn't by the engine. It was just sitting in the grill of the car. I guess it found like some nice little nook. But I'm just distraught at the fact that it was in my car that entire time. We were driving around Delray looking for food for over an hour. It was just driving with us 30, 40 miles an hour, just sitting in the grill of my car. So I bring my dad out, and he brings his neighbors, and they all get their tools, and they try to like unscrew the bottom of my car so that they can reach the little kitten and get her out so that she's not stuck there and so that I can still use my car. So I kid you not, it takes like 4 grown men all laying on their backs trying to like reach their arms into all the nooks and crannies to get this little kitten out. And poor thing is so terrified. She's already been through so much between Hurricane Irma and me driving around just not thinking that she was there. We get the car open finally, and my dad is close enough to where he can pull her out, and then she like scratches his hand, and then she goes even deeper in the car, even deeper. I don't even know how she was able to, but it took easily 3 hours before we actually got a good grip on her. And again, all those men, all those tools, everyone is just rallying together trying to save this cat from the inside of my car because she, poor thing, she just has no idea what's going on. Finally, we get a good grip on her and we take her out of the car, and she, I kid you not, just runs away, doesn't say thank you, doesn't have any sort of idea about what happened and how much we were all trying to save her. And we named the little kitten Irma. She went off into the bushes, and she was never seen again.
Simone Stewart with a story about saving a cat.
Saving a pretty smart cat.
Why smart?
Well, the cat found a terrific place to hide. I mean, what could be better during a hurricane?
It was a smart and rude cat. Didn't say thank you.
I know. It's so wonderful that she said that toward the end, because this is a rather disturbing story, and we don't quite know what the end of the story is going to be. We've got mystery, we've got suspense, and then we have, thank goodness, we have relief, and only then can she crack a joke. And so I love the way, now she knows that the story's going to end happily, but she doesn't crack that little joke until the very end of the story, when obviously everybody was feeling tremendous relief. But it would have been nice if the cat had said thank you.
The most important part about the story is a little cute little cat.
Yeah, you know, one of the most important things the stories are about are images, strong images. It could be a strong smell. It doesn't have to be a strong visual image. She talked about the breeze. She talked about the soft sound of the purr. And she didn't know if it was real. Was it just something she made up? I mean, that's a very strong image right there, to hear that purring in your head, to imagine somebody hearing that purring and not knowing where it's coming from. But then also, she describes that little one-month-old cat, and that's a strong image as well.
It all happens during Hurricane Irma, which kind of brought back memories of being together with people and electricity going out.
Yeah, you know, to people who are outside of South Florida, she makes hurricanes sound sort of nice.
Yes.
And one of the reasons, of course, is because we didn't get the brunt of it, obviously. The fact that she's together with her family and her friend, and the fact that they have these nice snacks, and the fact that Doc's, which is a Delray Beach institution, it's a burger and fries and ice cream stand, and the fact that they were able to feed themselves from there. I mean, it all sounds pretty nice. But of course, we know that that's not the case at all, because when she was living through it, she had no idea what was to come. And losing power is never that fun.
The story could have ended quite differently, because I have an experience with a cat in the engine I'd rather not share.
Well, I'm glad that you did not. And actually, she does something very interesting. She comforts us. She relieves our concern that the cat was in pain. But this is a really important point in storytelling, point of view. Now, she can't know that the cat is not in pain. That's switching point of view. She's telling the whole story in her point of view. She doesn't describe anything that didn't happen when she's not watching it and through her sensibility. So when she says the cat is not in pain, she then says visibly. And that is beautiful storytelling, because if she just said the cat is not in pain, you could say, well, how did you know the cat's not talking to you? For all you know, the cat may have been miserable. The cat isn't visibly in pain. Then when she says the cat is terrified, she doesn't say visibly. But at that point, we can see that the cat is trying to get away from them. And then she says that the cat scratches her father and runs away. So it's a pretty good bet that the cat is behaving in a way that indicates to her that she's terrified or he's terrified. But I like the fact that she's very aware of point of view when she's telling this story. That's important.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. I understand we have a professional storyteller coming to town.
Yes, next Saturday, January 19th, 4 to 5:30, storyteller Judy Seema from the Detroit area in Michigan is coming to perform World Folktales for adults at the Boca Raton Public Library. These are adult performances. The address of the Boca Raton Public Library is 400 Northwest 2nd Avenue. For more information or to tell me that you want to tell a story on the Public Storyteller, just email me at cneil, that's C, N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archive stories at WLRN.org. Click radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.